Praise God. Amen. God's so good. And glad to be in church one more time. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you tonight. We thank you tonight. We thank you tonight. God, we truly are fearfully and wonderfully made. Our soul knows it right well. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you for your grace tonight. Thank you for your grace. Bless this service. Bless this worship. God, we want to worship. We want to praise. We want to lift up our hands. We want the presence of God to just edify every soul in Jesus' name. We need it. Our souls need it. Quicken our mortal bodies tonight. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Let's worship. Let's do that. And greet all of you that are watching and listening, YouTube and Facebook.
I surrender. coming to you again. Lord, here I am. I surrender. I surrender. I surrender my life. Give it all to you.
Song. Hallelujah. How many felt that surrender? Hallelujah. Why don't we stand and just love the Lord another moment? Praise God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, we love you. Lord, we love you. Bless every soul that's watching. Hallelujah. Hope they're experiencing the same presence of God that we are. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. He's so good. He's so good. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. God's good. It's great to have Evangelist Allen with us from Kenya. And so glad to have you. Hope all is well in your neck of the woods. Thank you, Jesus. If it's not, we'll pray it to be. Because God's God anywhere. Amen. He's God anywhere. No one stops him from being God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. How many have confidence? I'm going to make it. Hallelujah. Being confident of this very thing, that he that had begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. A day we all long for, a day that nothing in this world is going to stop from happening. Praise the Lord. There's nothing in this world. There's neither death nor life, nor principality nor power. Nor good year, nor bad year, that shall separate us from a day that's coming. Hallelujah. It's a promise of God as much as the Holy Ghost promise is a promise of God. That we shall see him as he is. Hallelujah. And that we will be forever with the Lord. A great expectation. It's a greater expectation than a raise on the job, a new home, a new car, a new career. Praise the Lord. It exceeds all other expectations of life. As it's already been said, if you can come to church and be excited about being here, you'll understand why. Amen. You'll understand in the midst of a chaotic world sometimes, amen, that drive and that zeal of the Lord, and that I just can't wait to go and worship God. I can't wait to go and hear one more song and clap my hands and say, praise the Lord. I can't wait to worship and speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance to speak and just enjoy the good presence of God, because nothing in this world takes that away. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And I'm glad about that. How about you? Yes. Praise God. Let no man spoil you, remember? Don't let anything spoil you, beguile you, deceive you away from this thing. Diminish it so that you would come to church. As Brother Rick testified, have things get fuzzy or not be as crystal clear, not be as exuberant as it once was. Yes, pinch yourself. challenge yourself and say, I refuse to be a tombstone on a church pew. I'm not dead yet. Hallelujah. As long as I've got life, I'm going to praise the Lord. And there's something about being an overcomer where we make the choice, I will yet praise him. Even Job and all of the things that he went through testified saying, my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. I'm going to see him. Praise God. And I'm glad about that, aren't you?
Yeah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. God's good. Matthew 6, praise God. Amen, amen. I'll try to preach this maybe or something else. It doesn't matter. All is good. Hallelujah. Like Brother Don Johnson saying, I'm marching toward heaven. I'm glory land bound. No earthly attractions gonna turn me around. I'm shouting the victory as I go on my way. Amen? And we got a way to go. Matthew 6, beginning at verse 5. Just feel good, that's all. Praise God. Body's a little tired sometimes, but I feel good in my soul. One day we're going to put off this veil of tears. Praise the Lord. You're not going to get me asleep in church anymore. Hallelujah. All right, let me read before I just banter. And when you pray, you shall not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, enter into thy closet. When you have shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before ye ask him. Very interesting place for this verse to be put, said, spoken. But let me finish reading. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Amen. You may be seated. We all know that in order to be born again, in order to walk with God, in order to say that I'm born again, to say that I'm converted and my sins are blotted out, we must have passed through a moment where we believed, we connected with the preaching, we believed the preaching, we allowed it to have led us to a place of repentance from dead works, not saying I'm just sorry, but being led away from to a place of repentance. See, I think oftentimes we overlook Scripture. And we just read it for the story facts of it. But remember what the scripture says. It says that they led him to Calvary. And there they crucified him. Isn't that what it says? Yes. They led him. Now, in that he was led to Calvary and crucified, he's able to now lead us to Calvary. So that we can be crucified with him. And we know that we must be buried with him by baptism into death, and that we must be filled with the gift, the promise of the Holy Ghost, for it is a promise unto us. We know that all of this is true according to the word of God, but it's possible, it's very possible that we could fall prey to what Jesus is talking about here. And no matter the fact that we repented and we were baptized in his name for the remission of sins, regardless of the fact that we were filled with the Holy Ghost, we can fail to continue to live in what that is supposed to have produced in our life. I'm here to talk to you tonight about becoming a people of prayer. becoming a people of prayer. It's great that you were converted, but it's greater to continue in your conversion. It's great that you received the Holy Ghost once, but it's greater that you're still filled with the Holy Ghost now. It's great that you were baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of your sins once, but it's greater that you continue in your baptism now. We've seen a lot of people go in the waters of baptism, but they're out there sinning today, taking the name of the Lord in vain. For that's a greater example of taking Jesus' name in vain than it is to cuss his name. To be buried in his name with the intention being that it's supposed to wash you from your sins, to forgive you. That's where we receive the forgiveness of sins. We don't mentally receive the forgiveness of sins by acknowledging that he died on Calvary and did what he did. We have to receive the forgiveness that his shed blood produced. And we receive it when we are buried with him by baptism for the remission. For one of the initial definitions of the word remission is forgiveness. So it thus signifies that forgiveness is something that must be received, as much as the Holy Ghost must be received. For Peter and John came down in Acts chapter 8 to pray with the Samaritans, for only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, Acts 8:16. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, speaking of the Holy Ghost. So John came down, Peter and John came down to lay hands on them that they might be filled with the Holy Ghost. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of God that must be received. Amen? But after we've received it, are we continuing in it? We're reading here, Jesus talking about prayer. We talked about it a few days ago. We mentioned it anyway about prayer, about God's definition of prayer instead of ours. I think what can happen to all of us, and we can't blame the denominational world, and just say, well, they don't have anything, and they're this, they're that, when we could be guilty of that and more. See, it's not about just you knowing the truth. It's about us walking in truth. Isn't that what John said? I have no greater desire than that my children walk in truth. It's great that the truth came to us. It's greater that we walk in that truth and we become people of truth. It's great that we get taught how to pray, but it's no good to us if we don't do the praying. You can go online and watch all the great how-to YouTube videos, how to fix your faucet that's leaking and your car's flat and all of that, but if you don't fix the faucet, it's still going to leak. If you don't do anything to the tire, it's still going to be flat. So we're reading something here that I want to just convey to you, and I'm not here to get deep into certain details of it, but there's something here that I saw that I want to pass on to you. Jesus is teaching a lesson about prayer, and we've been over this. You've read it for yourself umpteen number of times. He's saying when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites are. Call them hypocrites. Why? Because they love standing in the synagogues and corners of the streets that they might be seen praying. Jesus said they have their reward. They're not praying. They're there to be seen. They're there to gain some recognition for doing all the stuff that they do. He said, don't be like them. Don't be like the hypocrites when you pray. They love to pray, just being seen to pray. You know, like some of those people that have to have all those accolades before their name. Doctor, apostle, prophetess, worship leader, a prayer guru, warrior, so-and-so. Throw in doctor in between somewhere. Silly. But when you pray, when you pray, enter into your closet when you've shut the door. Now, something kind of hit me while I was reading that, and I just want to pass it on to you. What does it mean to shut the door? Does it mean to go somewhere and pray and just block it all out? Or is it just his way of saying, when you pray, don't pray to be seen. Don't pray to draw attention to yourself. Shut your door. It doesn't mean you're not going to make noise in the church house. In other words, it doesn't mean you're not going to join in the worship and the praying and coming to church early to pray and praying during the service is going on and pray after the service is going on. You may not say everything you would say in a private moment of prayer while you're here, but you're praying. That's not the point. He's not just
saying become a recluse and go hide yourself in the building and pray in your closet. When you pray, shut the door. It's a lot of things. Some things we've talked about before about closing out to other things. But he's implying something here that when you pray, enter into your closet. It's another way of saying get out of the limelight. Don't be like that. Get away from that. And the way that he can say it and give you time to chew on what he just said. But when you pray, enter into your closet. So what he's saying, do just the opposite of these clowns. Because this is not recognized by God as prayer. The disgust he must have had being around certain people, especially of his own nation. The type of disgust he found in the temple when they were selling things and he was there to... He knew the history of that place. He knew the history. He knew it. There wasn't anything about that temple he didn't know. Particularly the order of worship, the priesthood, everything that he had established. And he walks in there. It made him so mad, he made a scourge of small cords. He walked in and he wreaked some havoc. This loving, kind, gentle Savior went in there and started whipping people, overturning tables. Driving out merchandise, saying, get those lambs out of here. Get those doves out of here. Don't you be selling stuff and making merchandise of worship. Get out of my house. Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise, but what? Make it a house of
prayer.
Praise the Lord. So it seems like the Lord has an attitude about prayer. It seems like there's something that is wonderful to him about prayer and another thing that's awful about prayer. And what becomes awful is when we forget what prayer really is all about and we start to define prayer for ourselves. And we depart from his definition of prayer, the type of prayer that we prayed, yes, Brother Rick, when we first got in this thing. We were praying, I'm not saying anyone's departed from it, I'm just teaching a lesson here tonight. And boy, these things hold heat. But when we got in this thing, we prayed and we fervently prayed. We are praying effectual, fervent prayers. Why? Because we were absorbed with the definition of prayer that came from God. Even if we didn't know all the details of the how-to, we were manifesting it because we were yielding ourselves to the Spirit of God who knows how to pray. Who was teaching us how to pray. When we come to the church, he was teaching us how to worship and how to get involved and how to be on the front row, so to speak, and how to just to get in it with all of our heart and with all of our soul, and it pleased God, and we were always blessed. We go home and pray, the same thing would happen. Why? Because we were demonstrating the definition of prayer, what prayer means to God. We weren't trying to make a show. We just wanted to get to the house of God so we could pray. And we could feel the presence of God, so we could worship, so we could shout, so we could wave our hands, so we could run the aisles a little bit and jump up and down a little bit. Praise God. Something God loved. Hallelujah. Stick with me a minute. Just pry those eyelids open. In Jesus' name. We were at work today, and there were some people. We were trying to all wake up and cool down. I mean, warm up a little bit. We were sort of outside, but not quite. We were inside the mill doing some canning stuff, and one of the guys that came in to do the operation started doing jumping jacks, and he looked like he needed a few. Trying to wake up and warm up, and that's how, you know, it's how sometimes we are when we come to church to worship. We just got, you know. We get up out of the seats just to be, it's more about, I'm trying to stay awake. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But that's okay. That's all right. I'm doing the same thing. I walk around a lot because I'm sleepy. And I'm trying to wake myself up and get my second wind sometimes. And I don't want to sit too long because these chairs are comfortable. Praise God. So listen to what the Lord is saying, and this is what I'm trying. It's just a simple sort of, just a little something about prayer that I want to pass on if I can just drive home a very simple lesson without being too complicated, throwing out too many scriptures that might pull us in this direction and that, because there's a lot of things to say about prayer. But to talk to you about becoming a person, a people of prayer,
of continual prayer, reminding ourselves to pray without ceasing. No matter what's happening in your life, pray and don't stop praying. And remember, don't stop praying according to his definition of prayer and not your own, as we're going to talk about very quickly in just a moment. His definition, that's pray without ceasing to pray. The type of prayer that's Acts chapter 4. When they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled. That type of prayer. Type of prayer that God gets involved in and he just shakes things up, stirs things up. Stuff happens when we really pray. Problem we have sometimes is we're not really praying when we're praying. If that's true for you. Why is that? It's because sometimes unconsciously we get trapped within the normalcy of what prayer is, and we don't realize we begin to get involved with a routine of prayer that isn't quite prayer. It's less than prayer. It's not the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man that availeth much. We sometimes digress into defining prayer by what we do and the routine we take and the repetition that we have. Jesus isn't interested in hearing you say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus all the time. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. God's good. Yeah, hallelujah, amen, hallelujah, amen. That's not prayer. That's just words. I'm not saying it can't accompany prayer, but there's a difference, and you know it, between trying to warm up. It's like, you know, sometimes our prayer closets are like cars warming up in the morning. That's what's out because it's revving high. It's cold until it warms up. Then it goes. And then it dies down as the engine warms and it starts to purr like a kitten again. But when it's 19 degrees out, it's been sitting there all night, and you turn it on, it has that sort of high pitch sound, like it's like, whoa, I'm cold. And that's how we are in prayer sometimes. We're just there and God's hearing, Jesus, Jesus, oh, Jesus, Jesus, God, God, God. He knows who he is. He knows his own name. He don't need you to say it 15,000 times in 5 minutes. Not picking on us. And this is not altogether what he's saying about vain repetition, but we can include that in it. And what we're really saying, what he's really hearing is, I'm tired, I don't feel like praying, but I'm trying. I'm sorry, I'm just being honest. We're all that way. We know we need to pray. We need to carve time out of our busy schedules. We know we need to take our carcass to church, but sometimes we don't get involved in the service till like the altar call. We finally show up. Look, I was that way yesterday. We were pruning in the vineyard, and we were almost done with 36 rows. We got it done in, 2 days, but we were long rows, and just thank God for pneumatic cutters. But nevertheless, we were still having to cut, and, man, I was dragging. I mean, we were moving and whatnot, still making good time. Boss was happy. Wow, I'm making great time. I was like, I don't feel like I'm making great time. I feel like I'm kind of, dragging along, and it just, you know, that's just the way it was. And finally, an hour before we were done for the day, all of a sudden, you know, the second wind, I think my first and second wind showed up. Poo! That was chop, 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 poo, poo, chop, chop. Just moving along. Like, man, where were you 5 hours ago? When I needed you. All right. I'm bantering, so I got to hurry. Do you understand? And I'm not picking on any of us. I'm just saying this is being human. Stuff we have to fight through. Don't condemn yourself if you're this way. It just takes some effort sometimes to get to our second wind. So he's saying, don't be like the hypocrites. But when you pray, don't seek to be seen. Don't seek to be noticed. Don't look for your recognition. Don't try to be super spiritual warrior. Here's my card, call if you need prayer, because I'm a prayer warrior. I'm a prayer warrior. We get down to business in prayer. Oh, hallelujah. I really don't like that phrase. Forgive me, I've got a pet peeve, and it's a scriptural one. I understand the point, and we all need to war in prayer. But this self-exalted, I'm a prayer warrior. I get what people are trying to say. We need to be prayer warriors in the prayer room. I get it. But you know what? We don't need titles. It's just when you get to the prayer room, do some warring when you're there. But don't exalt yourself. Don't call on all the prayer warriors. Prayer warriors. Come on, prayer warriors. Hey, look, stop that nonsense. Just teach people how to pray. They'll war enough in prayer when they get there. They don't need a title. Hallelujah. That's right. Hallelujah. Amen. This is what I'm trying to say here tonight. So thank you for enduring me. When God wants us to accomplish the things we want to accomplish in the prayer room, in our time of prayer, by becoming a people of prayer. You can't become a people of prayer unless you pray, and you pray a lot, and you continue to pray, and you don't cease to pray. When life puts you in the pressure cooker, you pray. Right? Come on. When the going gets rough, right? Or when the going gets tough, the tough get to praying. When America goes crazy, the people of God get to praying. Not protesting, praying. You'll accomplish more in 10 minutes of solid, effectual, fervent prayer than you will standing all day out in the cold protesting because you don't like the way the government's doing. And you'll gain more respect of God and man by not having to be seen. You say, well, we've got to take a stand right in the prayer room, you nincompoop. You don't think God can move mountains and nations? Are you trying to be God? Are you greater than God? Didn't he say, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord? Does that scripture still work? Or are they just scriptures that don't work? God needs our help now. All right, let me go on. Let me try. I'm so sorry. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. Now, this is what interests me about this. Two verses, 7 and 8. He seems to be implying something here. Watch this. Use not vain repetitions. It's the definition behind this, if you try to do a little interpretation from the Greek words into the English language, it seems to imply prating. This irritating, persistent noise, this repetition, this on and on and on and on and on stuff. This on and on. You won't shut up. Isn't that amazing? I'm going to pray unto the Lord, and God says, shut up. Yeah, but I'm trying to pray. You're not praying. You're just babbling. Shut up. I know this sounded a little harsh, but wouldn't that be amazing if you go to pray and what you're saying and how you're going about to pray, God tells you to shut up. Yeah, but you asked me to pray. Yeah, now I'm telling you to shut up. Because what's coming out of your mouth isn't what I define as prayer. So that's what vain repetition, that's the meaning behind it. It is just constantly babbling and going on about nothing. Use not vain repetitions. Sometimes we think of vain repetitions. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hail Mary, full of grace, Lord is with thee. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We can say something in our realm. And it's just a repetition. That's how we usually think of it. But it's more than that. It's more than just repeating words. It's we could be actually not doing any of that and just saying a lot of stuff in prayer, and God just hearing it as vain repetition. You're telling me over and over again what? All the stuff you need. All the trouble in your day. Listen to what he said. Don't use vain repetition as the heathen, for they think they'll be heard for their much speaking. Oh, I was in the prayer room today pouring my heart onto God, telling them all about my financial problems, and all about my backache, my toe ache, and all about my aggravating family. God curse half of them. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask. So it seems like he's implying and putting in the same sentence that vain repetitions could be your speaking about what you need all the time. Think about that. That changes some things. Because as people, we're so used to prayer time being ask time, request time, petition time. So now I can be bombarded with, yeah, but the scripture says, right, let your requests be made known unto God, right? Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. You're right. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. There's a difference between when you and I pray and when we don't pray, but yet it seems like we're praying. Look, there are times when we're not experiencing the walk with God that we want and experiencing the results that we want. It's simply because there's a problem in our prayer room. Prayer is meant to be results driven, not empty, not leaving you not receiving what you went to pray about. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Listen to what he's saying here in verse 7 and 8. He's implying that vain repetitions and what things we have need of seemingly are going together. It's an implication that he's hearing the same thing over and over and over and over again. God, I need a new car. God, I need food. God, I need this. God, would you give me that? God, I have problems. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. And this is what I'm trying to drive home, believe it or not, without getting into all the deepness of the further words we could say. Listen to what he said. Just try to listen. After this manner, pray. He said, don't pray like this. Don't do this. Don't go down that road. He said, after this manner, you pray. So it is an instruction on how we ought to pray and how we can become people of prayer. And I mean, people of prayer, where when we get to that prayer room, we're doing some warring. We're doing some battling. Because prayer rooms, I'm talking about your prayer life, sometimes gets tough. And there are battles being fought. Battles in the mind. Battles for other people. Battles in your flesh. Struggles of life that, yes, you will face. Things that will be on your mind that will trouble you. And just get on your mind so that really when you come to church, you're not in church. You're there, but you're not. You need to pray, but you're not praying because your mind is consumed with stuff. You're saying things to God, and God's hearing them, but he's not hearing them. What he's hearing is vain repetition. He's wanting to hear something deeper off of your altar of incense. He's wanting to smell something that's sweet and a savor in his nostrils that said, I'm pleased with that. That's prayer that will cause God, amen, to unleash upon all the stuff that he knows you need. He's just wanting to know if you'll stop always talking about it. It takes so much effort to really pray sometimes. It takes time to get away from. And this is sometimes what that closet of prayer, what he's saying is get away from. Pray like this. And to pray like this, you've got to get away from that. But if we stay here in that, that seems to have a form of prayer, but it's really not, and it's not going to get you anywhere. You'll leave the prayer room just as worried as you went in. Because all you did was spend all your time. We didn't cast our cares upon him. We just rehearsed them. There's a big difference in getting rid of them and just repeating them. Oh, hallelujah. And you, yes, in casting all your care, you're going to voice them. You're going to express them. But sometimes we don't have to. We can avoid it by praying after this manner. Praise the Lord. God knows it's there. I think sometimes the biggest blessing we have ever gotten when God answered a prayer we never prayed. We could have prayed it, but he said instead he just gave you the answer and showed you I knew all about it. And I had it already covered. And thank you for worshiping me anyhow in the church service that night instead of bringing it up. Hallelujah. Thank you for praying and worshiping and just enjoying my presence anyhow. Even though you could have spent all that time worrying about what was going to happen tomorrow. Amen. Praise God. Instead, you decided to take no thought for tomorrow because I'm here to worship God. I'm here to sing every praise to our God. Hallelujah. I'm here to sing one more time. Down by the riverside. Down by the riverside. Praise God. You were there to sing, what a mighty God we serve. See, what you're doing is you're saying, I'm making a choice to acknowledge God in all of my ways. To acknowledge the Father that loved me and knows what I have need of. Praise God. And that's the prayer. He's changing our direction, our focus. He's saying, let me lead you to what prayer really is. After this manner, don't repeat these words. They're not meant to be repeated, although we could. It's not instructions on repeat this. He didn't say repeat after me. Obviously, he don't like vain repetition. So that in and of itself shows you he never meant for anyone to say, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." That's not prayer. That's mundane. That's dull. That's boring. You're not gleaning from what that instruction is all about. It's just, it even sounds bad, feels bad. Our Father, I think I had to be filled with the Holy Ghost, Brother Mike, to appreciate reading these words and saying the Our Father. Yeah. With the way we grew up, we said the Our Father so many times, burned in our heads, just like Hail Mary. Yeah. And Mary ain't the mother of God. She's not immaculate, and she's dead. P.S. Falling asleep in Christ, waiting the resurrection of a better day. She's not even in heaven yet. Wearing my shield. It's about the size of the old Israelite shields, right? Praise God. Let's just love a minute. I'm closing. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Worthy is the Lamb of God. Worthy is the Lamb of God. And I didn't say anything against Mother Mary. I didn't. Mary was filled with the Holy Ghost, handmaiden of the Lord, baptized in Jesus' name. And just because some people 5 centuries later made her a deity didn't mean it's true. And I'm not here to crucify anyone's. Mary doesn't hear and answer prayer. She never has. Praise God. She never has. But I'll forever, all of my life, have Hail Mary full of grace in my mind. God doesn't want our born-again experience to fall into that sort of curriculum, vain way of worship and doing things. God wants it to be real. So in closing, yeah, I'm still looking. It's gone. Thank you, Jesus. After this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father which art in heaven, it's acknowledgement of God, hallowed, sanctified, precious, holy is your name. Thy kingdom come. Where is in anything that we have just read, where is any of that involving what we have need of? All of our cares and problems and our laundry lists and all the time we waste saying we're praying when we're not. Let's become people of prayer. I'm just going to stop there. You can go read the rest and figure it out. After this manner, pray. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Great things can happen in prayer, real prayer. That's why we should come early and pray and call on God, because we got people coming, and they're already been showing up, and we want them to show up to a place of true prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. We can't spend all of our time trying to get into the service. By the time it's over, we need some people converted. Pray. We're already supposed to be there. Hallelujah. So let's just be there. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. God's good. How about a song? Down by the riverside. Is that all right? Hallelujah. And let's just worship him as she sings, and let's just love God. Hope that made sense to you. Just a little bit of exhortation, really. Praise God. Hallelujah. We need what God needs, what he knows we have need of. Praise God. People of prayer. There are people today that are not in the kingdom of God because they stopped praying. Because they walked away. Don't be one of them. But you will if you stop.
If you pray without ceasing, if you end up just having a form of godliness, the Pentecostal look, but you've got no power, you've missed the whole message. Praise God. Let's pray some prayers that will cause us to escape all the stuff that's happening around us in this world. That'll get us and keep us on track of what God wants us to do. I'm telling you, we're going to avoid a bunch of stuff that's out there just being thrown into the wind that like to distract us. I'm tired of being distracted by all these clowns out there. Too many clowns and bozos. Too many of them. They act like they have no sense whatsoever. I'm tired of dealing. I don't want to fool with any of those people. Praise God. A lot of them have high positions. Look, they just need to pray. We need to pray. We need to pray. And I'm peeling myself away from all that nonsense. I'm just tired of being around nonsensical people and attitudes and everything. Great way to solve that problem is disappear in prayer. Hallelujah. And when you come out of prayer, when you come down from that mountain place to pray, let's do something for Jesus. Amen. Let's see some miracles and signs and wonders. They're going to follow you. If you'll become a person of prayer, they'll follow you. Stick with that. Amen. Because there's going to be a bunch of hurting people that need us to be people of prayer. When they're all done divided and shooting at each other and have nothing left, we're going to be standing there saying, well, come on, come to church. Down by the riverside.
Gonna lay down my burdens down by the riverside, down by the riverside, down by the riverside. Gonna lay down my burdens down by the riverside, down by the riverside. Ain't gonna study war no more.
No more. Ain't gonna.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless your holy name, oh God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We all remember that scripture, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. It takes many times to get to a true place of prayer, humbleness, where we humble ourselves away from our version of prayer, where we often find ourselves dictating to God how God should be God without realizing we're doing it. We start telling God all the stuff we want him to do, all the stuff he needs to do, all the stuff he should do, because after all, these are all my viewpoints, and you need to take care of what's on my agenda. Yet the word says, who hath been the Lord's counselor? Who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have what? The mind of Christ. Because we're the ones needing instruction. His name shall be called Counselor. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Amen. And sometimes our counsel is the ungodly counsel. And we have to depart from our reasoning, because what happens in our so-called prayer lives sometimes, I'm not saying that this is happening to us, but it can, is we are implementing a human reasoning way of praying. And until we depart from that and after this manner pray, then that's when all the miracles happen. See, we can humble ourselves and pray, and God can move a nation. Just because we prayed. If you don't believe that, you need therapy. If you don't believe that your prayer is that powerful, it's not about you, it's about the God in you, and it's about all of us obeying after this manner you pray. And if you'll pray after this manner, if I'll pray after this manner, God will move mountains for us, nations and kingdoms for us. Hallelujah. That's what he'll do, and that's the point of this message tonight. It's a very simple thought coming from the Lord. I want you people to pray like I want you to pray. Praise the Lord. And it may take some work on your part to empty your head full of all the stuff that you feel like prayer is and just get to real prayer. Prayer that's a result of stuff that comes from Calvary. That's the hot coals from that altar, in that altar of incense where it belongs, not your coals. Nadab and Abihu got slain by the Lord when they tried to offer up strange fire. And Aaron lost two sons. The Lord said, I'm not accepting. I told you people that if your prayer life is going to be a prayer life that ascends unto God, I want my fire in it. I don't need your fire. I don't need what you're all passionate about in life to enter into the prayer room and try to move me. I want what I'm passionate about. Where's that salvation experience? Where's that fire of the Holy Ghost? Why isn't that burning the prayer room? God's not looking for political opinions in your prayer room, no more than he's looking for an unforgiving attitude to be there. Forgive us our debts as we forgive. It didn't say forgive us our debts, period. Oh God, help us forgive. That's the way we pray it. God says, no, this is how I want you to pray it. God, forgive me when I wrong you as I forgive others who have wronged me. And if I don't forgive, God says, I ain't forgiving you. That's so mean. It's true, though. You don't show mercy, God ain't showing you none at all. This is God's prayer. Amen. One more time. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you. Help us, God. Help us all. Help us all that are watching and listening and here. I know, Lord, some things are strong, but God, we want to truly, Lord, descend from our way of thinking and ascend to your way of instruction and how to. Teach us all over again how to pray, how to be a people of prayer, how, God, to get down to business and truly, Lord, fight some battles in prayer and win them. Hallelujah. And leave that prayer time and leave that time of worship at the church house changed and transformed and moved. Oh, God, help us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God.
Next time you start to worry about something, overthink something, go pray a while. Don't go pray a while about it. Go pray a while. And watch your pray a while deal with your worry. God bless you.
Hallelujah.
In the field, burst forth in gloomy. The wind seems to whisper, he's alive. Even the trees lift their kind of love.